championship rounds, championship bell Friday, overtime with Kurtz and Middleton. No feed in the parking lot just yet, Brian Middleton. I know you got a weekend coming up, man, but not yet.
Not for 4 hours, right? Four and a half hours, 4 hours and 25 minutes before the feet hit the parking lot, Casey Lamont Kurtz.
For me, at least, you're right about that. You're right about that. It is Championship Friday, Championship Bell Friday, the Championship Rounds, whatever you want to call it. But it is overtime with Kurtz and Middleton. The broadcast on Brian Middleton on the ones and twos, Championship Bell in tow, strapped over his right shoulder for those radio listeners.
I don't know what I would do if I came in here one day and, like, Brent took it to somewhere else or, you know, maybe gave it to, you know, some kid that, you know, he was like, oh, you know what? I want that. You know, it's my, you know, I earned this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I would be hurt.
You would be.
But I'd have to go find a trophy. I found a trophy place, by the way. Do you remember? We started talking about this, and you had to get another one. I was like, oh, maybe a trophy place. Okay.
Yes.
Not going to say the name because they ain't paying no money.
No, they are not.
But it was, you know, it's in Arlington.
But if they want to pay money, they certainly can.
Sure can.
And then we'll say their name a lot.
Hey.
We'll actually wear the belts more than just Fridays, maybe.
To be real with you.
But that's a, you know, that's an advertising play. But anyway, overtime with Kurtz and Middleton on a Friday. And Brian, 3 minutes and 30 seconds into the show, I'm missing the credit you should be giving me after yesterday. You gave me a hard time yesterday about what I said about Justin Herbert. Now today, he doesn't throw a pass in practice. Officially questionable. Chase Daniel takes all the reps with the ones.
Yeah.
This guy's not playing.
Okay.
They made a business decision. So listen, you can hold out until Sunday.
No, I didn't say that.
You can hold out if you don't want to give me my flowers for being right. That's fine. Yeah, hold out, Brian Middleton. I'd actually rather you hold out because it makes for better radio. But we both know the inevitable. I'm right. But most importantly, Justin Herbert's not playing in this football game.
First of all, I didn't say that he wasn't going to play. I said it'd be a horrible look if he didn't.
And it's a fine look.
As a matter of fact, I said, Casey Kurtz, that if they came to the Chargers faithful, you were like, eight people I labbed, and I was like, yeah,
all
the Chargers faithful.
All six of them.
I was like, and they came out and said that, and they pulled Herbert and said, hey, we just want to, you know, we thought we could take the Jags anyway, even though they would package it differently. Then I finally would be like, okay. But ultimately, it's a bad look. Listen, guys, this guy ain't no way you can tell me that he don't want to play. Not.
I agree with that.
That the team isn't looking at him and saying, hey, listen, maybe, you know, let's weigh this out. If he's the guy that you think he is, if he's as talented and he's going to be the next coming of the, you know, the top tier QB, he's going to be up there with the top guys at the end of this season. Let me tell you something about all those guys that we think are, you know, great, that are ahead of him at some point in their career. Against teams that we think might have been meaningless, but it's a regular season game. This ain't the preseason. They went out there and they played. Tom Brady's Super Bowl year played without like a tendon or a ligament or something was sprained or torn.
You don't need all your tendons and ligaments.
I don't care. I don't care if they actually pull him, Casey. That wasn't the point. The point is this would be a terrible look. And at that point, I don't want to hear nothing about Justin Herbert being better than Lamar Jackson until he proves something else to me. Okay,
we would go back to that.
We would go right back to that because I'm like, okay, listen, this guy's supposed to be the guy. I understand. You said he doesn't have a left tackle. He don't have a right guard. He don't have a right tackle. He don't have an offensive line. Apparently, it's going to be 7-on-11 or 6-on-11 when he goes out there.
Absolutely.
And you know what?
Not an offensive lineman.
The great ones figure it out. The great ones figure it out. I'm not saying they always do it on their own. It's a team sport. But the great ones figure it out. It don't matter who's out there running routes or blocking. You look up at the end of four quarters or the end of overtime and what they're doing, celebrating another win, week three, because that's what they do. That's what you do in football. You gut it out.
You are wild and reckless. Like, we're not going to spend our show on this, but this is crazy.
I want to make sure you understand. I don't have to give you any flowers because my point wasn't that the Chargers wouldn't take them away. I said it's a bit foolish for Brandon Staley to be getting his information from a Jags fan of, 20 years. But, hey, okay, if he wants to do that, that's fine. But it's a bad look. It just is. And one more thing, Casey, then I'll give you the floor. You can try to combat all these things. Listen.
I will.
The NFL, I don't care what you're predicting this guy's going to be. You're here right now. Now, are you injured or are you hurt? Because there's guys out there that's playing for contracts. that you're never going to know their name unless you're super into fantasy or, you know, you just follow the chart. You're the Chargers beat writer. But they made it on the 53-man roster. You got vets out there that ain't worried about the fact that, okay, your ribs are sore or you did not practice or your practice was limited. I don't know the extent of his injury, by the way.
He didn't throw a ball today.
So he was, hey, did he throw earlier this week? Because I saw limited earlier this week.
One of 3 days.
So he did throw earlier this week.
They did not throw 2 of 3 days.
Okay, that's fine. So he did throw. My point is this. You got other guys that are out here trying to get another contract, trying to win. This may be their last go-around. Listen, man.
Agreed.
It's fine if they pull him. And if they do, I'd be like, well, you know, it's just as foolish as what I thought it was going to be, and it will be a bad look. But and when you try to insert him into the topic throughout the rest of this year, I don't care if he comes back and has the great year. Unless he's actually injured. And I'm talking about, like, they need to say, yo, he's injured. It can't be this kind of, I get the fact that they're not wanting to give away the actual game plan, who the Jazz could prepare for. I get that. But after this game, at some point, they need to be like, okay, he's out with an actual rib injury. Because right now what it sounds like is, he got really hurt. You can see he's hurt, but is he not so hurt to where he can't play? This feels like more like maybe some gamesmanship on the Chargers' part. I think he's going to play. I just think he's going to at least give it a go.
So just to be clear, let me lock you in, right? You've locked me in on many a take. Let me lock you in on this one. If they hold him out of the game, you're going to hold it against Justin Herbert that he didn't play. Because, like, they're not going to come out and say, you know.
You get all the credit. Listen.
Okay, so you're going to hold it against him.
Listen, you get most of the credit. You get a lot of the credit as a QB, and you're going to catch a lot of this backlash. You're just going to. Because if Justin Herbert's like, listen, shoot me up. I can make this happen. I'm going to play. They're not going to be like, no. Sorry. Even at this young age right now, even though he hasn't really done anything, I mean, to the point where you're talking about accolades, but we can see it on the horizon for him. If he wants to go out there and play and give it a go, he can override the head coach. He can override the GM. He can go straight to the owner and be like, give me a series, give me 2 series, let me fill it out at the very least. Give Chase, you know, Daniels, like, give him 80% with the first team because I know what I'm doing with the first team. But let me give it a go because I'm the best option for this team. So, yeah, I got to hold it all against them. It's the way to be fair.
Fair enough. I just want to lock you in. The best coaching decision that Brandon Staley has ever made will be to not play Justin Herbert in this game. It's the best one he's made so far. Because he's made some questionable ones.
You may
probably
be able to take him, though.
But I'm not worried about it. Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Come on now. It'll be the best decision he's made because you saved the season by not getting this guy hurt.
How do you know? How do you know you're saving the season? How do you know? Exactly.
Because the math adds up.
You got to try to win every game you can because things get wonky throughout the rest of the regular season.
How about this? Have a backup quarterback that you're confident in.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
If they had Gardner Minshew as their backup right now, they'd be like, you know what? We're okay with that.
Well, they don't.
But they got 85-year-old Chase Daniel, by the way, power to him. He's made a lot more money than I ever will.
Hold on now. Let's not.
Chase Daniel made like $50 million.
No, that's a lot of money. But yeah. Let's not. That second part. Let's not manifest that lack of success.
Start rolling on that. But listen, good for him. He's going to get a start in my mind because he's going to start this football game. He's going to play. Listen, the spread went from 7 to 3. Vegas knows. They know. All right, they know what's happening here. So, anyway, Justin Herbert did not throw in practice today. Keenan Allen also not participating in the actual part of practice. J.C. Jackson not participating. Here's what we can confirm. The Jags will have to stop a pass rush. They will have to stop Joey Bosa. Have to stop Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
Outside of that.
Because them boys said, hey, you know what? Our names are not on that report.
They are not. And they will have to stop Austin Ekeler on the offensive side. Mike Williams as well. But outside of that. Keenan Allen, J.C. Jackson, Justin Herbert, offensive line, a bunch of questions there.
I am telling you right now.
We don't know.
Well, we don't know, but I'm telling you right now, as much as your take and your viewpoint on this seems to have gained a lot of steam and maybe it's moved into the top spot or a tie for the top spot, there is a game plan right now that takes into the account of getting the ball out of Justin Herbert's hands as fast as possible, relying on Ekeler even more, their run game even more, figuring out ways to, okay, Maybe it can't be a five step. Maybe it's a lot of three steps. I mean, he can see over the line. Like it can be quick. So you know, like it can be a quick pass. We can get the ball out of his hands. Let's not keep it in, you know, and give that Jags defense the opportunity to possibly test out whether or not, you know, he was lying about his ribs or not. So, you know, hey, listen, I can't wait to see what happens Sunday. It's a win-win for me, because if they let him play, I'm gonna look at you on Sunday morning and be like, see, it's the way that it has to be. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, the Jags don't gotta face Justin Herbert.
I agree.
I win no matter what.
That is true. You might actually, but I'm also going to win because they're not going to face Justin Herbert. Anyway, let's move on to the Jags part of it. And they have their first guy on the injury report all season, and that is Shaq Griffin. So I said to Brent when that popped up, by the way, Shaq Griffin, only guy on the injury report with a hip. He's officially questionable. Okay? So that's what we know. I said to Brent, I said, hey, you were down there earlier. Any murmurs? Did you know this was coming out? And he said, no. And I'm going to take you inside the business. Probably not supposed to. Usually they know. There's a little bit of a heads up sometimes. Mm-hmm. Brent didn't know. So what that tells me is it probably happened at practice today. Little situation with Shaq Griffin and the hip. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know the full story. But I'm telling you he's on the injury report, and I'm telling you he's questionable.
Very nice, Casey Kirsten. The way that you came to that conclusion right
Thank
there,
you.
Man. Deducing the situation. I don't think deduce is the right word or a word at all, but, you know, very.
I did what I could.
Very, very long. You know what I mean? When the opening scene, when they're trying to investigate, and then there's some witty remark at the end when there's a dead body on the ground still.
Yeah.
You could be one of those. You could be Lenny.
I could, but Shaq is very much alive. Let's not confuse that.
Okay.
But, yeah, we don't know if he will play. Questionable. I think he would. And you want him to play. But if Keenan Allen's not going to play, and I don't want to play this game, by the way. If he's out, this guy can afford to be out. I don't want to play that game. It's still the Jags and the Chargers. But Tyson Campbell's going to be on Mike Williams.
Okay.
And if Keenan Allen doesn't play, do you trust a Darius Williams, Super Bowl champ, to slide to the outside and cover Josh Palmer? Yeah, I feel pretty good with that. Like, if Shaq couldn't go, again.
Look at you.
I imagine Shaq's going to go.
Campaigning for it.
But I'm just saying, like, if you were not going to have one of your corners in this week, finding out Keenan Allen not playing would be a little bit of a relief versus if he was playing. Because then we'd be like, oh, boy, it might be a long day. Because Keenan Allen's great, and Mike Williams is really good, and there's only one Tyson Campbell. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So let's see how that plays out. But Shaq Griffin is on the injury report. The first Jag on the injury report this season, they made it up to week 3 on Friday. Isn't that incredible?
It is. I'm surprised.
How does that happen?
Well, there's a lot of tough guys on the Jags, too. You know that, man.
You hate Justin Herbert.
I don't hate him.
You do.
No, that's a false narrative.
I'm going to push it. There's no doubt I'm going to push it.
Well, absolutely.
There's definitely something deep there with you and Justin Herbert.
Absolutely nothing.
I'm going to show you in the break my picture that I have with Justin Herbert.
You got a picture with him? Of course you do.
Casey, we're friendly.
The people know, you know, that you run in different circles, right?
And we're friendly.
Like that since you've been like
Herbert.
15, right? They know that, right?
No, they don't.
Okay.
And we don't have time. Bring the music. We got to go to break. Overtime with Kurtz and Middleton on a Friday. Championship rounds. Championship bell Fridays. We go to hit our first break of the day. By the way, Jumbo Shrimp Baseball coming up in about 35 minutes time. That's quick math. I might be wrong, but it's coming up at 6:50. And they will take you up until about 8:50, 8:55. Sometimes we get on comfortably to like 8:57, and then the producer's freaking out. And that's okay. We'll work through it. And then we go to the Friday Night Blitz. Brent Martineau, the Hall of Famer, Coach Kevin Sullivan. I will be here. Brian Middleton might be here as well. Taking some notes, doing some things. I may be out in a couple of weeks, so I think Brian's going to step in for me. That's why they call him the Broadcast Don. He's ready at all times to produce, host, or both a great program right here on ESPN 690. So that's what we got coming up. But me and Brian Middleton have more to do. We got some college football to talk about. There's other games in the NFL. The top 5 NBA players came out, according to ESPN, and I've got some flack with it. We will touch on that and then maybe even close out the show with some I said what I said. So a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it, but we pick up on it after the break. We'll be right back. Chip Bell Fridays. Overtime with Kurtz and Middleton. ESPN 690. Going into a game weekend for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They will head to Los Angeles, California for the second straight year to play a different team. Last year, the Rams. This year, the Chargers. I don't know if you heard, Brian. There's other football action, though, outside of the Jags. We've spent a lot of time. Frankly, this week, we have spent more time on one single person than any other time in the history of the show.
Your favorite quarterback in the league.
Well, listen, he's just a gamer. You know what I'm saying? But we cannot continue to spend time on this guy. I didn't show you my picture in the break. I'll show you in the next break. But anyway, there's other games going on this weekend, and a lot of good ones, a lot of desperate teams. We get to week three. You got teams that need wins. You got the game that I'm looking at, by the way. We'll start in the NFL. We'll go to some college as well. You know we appreciate the college football around here. But the game I'm looking at, Brian Milton, when I'm saying two desperate teams that need wins that I think will be a good football game is the Titans and the Raiders. Both teams 0-2, surprisingly 0-2, at least for the Raiders for sure. The Titans, maybe they are that bad. But I thought the Raiders were going to be pretty good. I'm surprised by how bad they've been this season. Both teams desperate for a win, Brian Middleton. Are you leaning one way or another in the Raiders-Titans game, which will take place in Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah, I think the Raiders are probably the better team right now. And the thing is, when you have a game like how the Raiders did where you were seemingly in command, and it just, everything that could go wrong went wrong. Everything that went right for the opposing team, the Cardinals, just went right. You can't even put two hands on Kyler Murray on a couple of plays. Like, it's, I think that those kind of, I think losses in general with guys at that particular level, guys and girls, but we're talking about the NFL, at that level, it eats at them. The majority of them. Mm-hmm. And then when you lose that way, it eats at you even more. And so I think that they're, you know, they're chomping at the bit to get back on the field. And they, you know, honestly, you know, at least should have one win right now. Someone
maybe
would
two.
Probably argue two. Yeah, exactly. Would argue two. But I think that they're probably the better team. The Titans just have not looked good. And nope. Even against the Giants, even though they, you know, had the lead for a little bit in that game, they haven't looked good. And so if I'm just going straight off of what's on paper and then kind of like the eye test of what I've seen, just highlight-wise, I haven't watched all their games, you know, from front to end. I'm going to go with the Raiders on this one right here. But I also went with the Steelers. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
I went with the Steelers as well. And they do not get the win. The Browns get the win on Thursday Night Football, by the way. But I'm with you. I'm on the Raiders. I think they could have two wins because they played the Chargers well in week one. They just couldn't get it done. And then last week was a blow-up of all blow-ups. By the way, the Raiders are -2. In that football game. I think I'd be interested in that. No gambling picks for the weekend from Jenkins Jr. because he continues to give us bad picks, so we told him to take a week off. And we'll try to get next week with Jenkins Jr. So that's the update there. But I will tell you, -2, Raiders, I'm all over that. But again, what do I know? Sticking in the division, by the way, Chiefs and the Colts. I don't think that one's going to be close. Colts are at home for the first time this season. Give me the Chiefs. Big, huge, ginormous. Chiefs kill them, in my opinion.
And just in case, for some reason, some crazy reason, you weren't starting Edwards-Hilaire, I think this would be a great game to do that. Just saying, on your fantasy. Yeah. We're just kind of merging segments right here.
Yeah, we are. It's good. I like it. Yeah, I would start CEH as well. I am playing him in every league I have him. Hey, this one's going to be a good one, too. And you know what I like about all these games I've told you about? I'm very interested in the Raiders game I told you about. I will keep tabs on the Colts. Another game. The Bears and the Texans, I will keep tabs on because of the quarterbacks. All these games are in the early window that we're talking about right now, which is exciting because the Jags play at 4. So you can watch some of these games and games you wouldn't usually get to see because they're rivaling the Jags, and obviously you're watching the Jags. So this one, I think, is going to have a lot of eyes on it. The Bills at 2-0, number one in the power rankings for smart people, and the Dolphins at 2-0, somewhere in the power rankings, top 10 for the Dolphins. But two undefeated teams, the Bills have to go down to Miami. Brian Middleton, you worried about that weather or what? They're going to be able to take
Bills,
the heat.
Make it hot. Hey, man, it's different in September down there, man. Mm-hmm. Okay? This ain't going to be no 75 and cool. Well, I don't know with the weather, the way that it's popping, it may be. But normally in September, it's not going to be 75, 80, you know, with 20% humidity. Mm-hmm. Okay, Buffalo?
Yeah.
So you got to be super focused out here, man. Don't melt.
Don't melt. That's a good one. I like it. Another one in the early window, Lions and the Vikings. That should be a good one.
I think it'll be a good game. But, you know, not for, you know, Kirk Cousins, though. It's not because of Kirk Cousins, though. Just want to let you know.
You are wild.
So, and also, by the way, I think that you're dealing with two really good running backs there at the very least. So, you know, hey, yeah. I like this matchup just to watch this game. But you got the upstart Detroit Lions with your Amon-Ra, Casey Kurtz energy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you got the Vikings who are kind of, you know, not upstarts, but, you know, people think that they're going to be a good team. People, they've been a good team. Yep. You know, so like, hey, let's watch some good football here. Divisional matchup, too, so it's important.
I'm with that. Should be a good overreaction Monday with all those matchups, by the way. Last one I'll ask you about before we go to college football. Your Panthers going to win a football game or what?
Got to be real with you, Casey Kurtz?
No, they're not.
It won't be this week. 7.
Really?
It won't be this week.
Even if Jameis doesn't play? You don't think they can beat the Saints without Jameis?
I have watched them give games away.
Okay.
And they still got to deal with the Saints defense. Jameis don't play defense.
He does not.
So,
as far as I understand.
So, and defense is, yeah. So, okay. Anyway, yeah.
So, no.
I don't think it'll be this week. But, yeah, they'll win some games. They'll turn it around, you know, Matt Rhule. That's all.
We'll just let it sit for a second.
Yeah, let it soak. Anyway, what else we got?
Yeah, they update. Panthers will win, just not this week. College football, we'll save one that's a big matchup. That's where game day's going. We'll save that one for a second, but we'll start with a game that's on ESPN 690. You can hear it tomorrow starting at 11:30 with kickoff at noon, and that is the Clemson Tigers as they travel to Wake Forest. Ryan Middleton, I tell you this, Sam Hartman's back for Wake. You know how I feel about Sam Hartman.
You love him.
And he will beat the Clemson Tigers tomorrow.
Just 1-on-11. He'll beat them. I like it.
He is him. I seriously do think Wake will win. I am not impressed with Clemson. They have a good defense, but Sam Hartman, I think, is good enough to score on their defense. Not at will. They're not going to put up 30. They're not going to put up 40, I don't think. But I think they will put up in the 20s, 24, 28, somewhere in that category. And I don't know if Clemson can keep up because they've scored points, but not against teams like this. Wake is a good team. They have an underrated defense. I think they win the football game. Do you disagree with me? Both teams 3-0, by the way.
Yeah. No,
Clemson number 5, Wake number 21.
I'm looking at it. Georgia Tech, Furman, Monte.
Nothing so far.
Yeah, it's a bad
schedule point for Clemson, I think. Their first real test is a good team that can beat them.
Yeah, it's been an underwhelming number 5 in the nation, you know, Clemson team. And, you know, after the bad taste that they left in my mouth, and I'm sure plenty of the Clemson fans' mouth, you know, last year, especially that quarterback play, they can get got. So what's the line on that?
What a professional way to ask it. Clemson -7, so they are the favorites by 7 points, even on the road, which is kind of crazy to me.
Yeah.
I'm all over Wake +7. I think they win the football game. I'm serious. I think they really do. And if you're giving me 7 points back, and in college football, if you have the better quarterback, I like your odds. They might have the better coach.
And here's the other thing.
I said it.
Wow. Yeah, well, you hate Dabo. Like, I know we throw false narratives around, but you truly do like that, like Dabo.
Well,
that's some, you know, off the air stuff on people. But if you do your research,
that's
what I'm not gonna say. If you do your research, though, you can find out why Casey Kirk and Dabo are beefing in real life. But you know, it could be a situation also, Casey, that maybe Clemson's looking ahead to NC State. They played the following week, and that's a big matchup.
And they got them last year, I do believe. Uh-huh. Yeah, they definitely got them last year.
So, you know, you know, a lot of things playing into how this game could turn out, but it'll definitely be a good game. I do believe that.
College game day will be in Knoxville.
They still 11th.
They still 11th.
Come on, man. Can we get a midweek revote?
An update? Well, I have a good feeling they will either be at 11 or higher after they play the Florida Gators, the 20th ranked team in the nation. At 3:30 on CBS 47 is where you can watch it. Tennessee is a 10.5-point favorite over the Florida Gators.
Wow.
10.5 points. And guess what?
You saying that's all?
And guess what?
What, Casey?
If I'm betting that game, Tennessee -10.5.
Wow.
The way the Florida Gators have looked in the last 2 weeks, if Tennessee, we're going to find out about Tennessee. You don't think they're the number 11 team in the nation? Neither do I. I think we can agree on that. But they are, at the moment, so much better than the Florida Gators, and here's why. You had identical games last week. Tennessee played Akron. The Gators played USF. One team won by 60, and one team won by 7. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Tennessee takes care of their business. They're a better team right now, Brian.
Casey, so impromptu cash it or trash it.
Yes.
Tennessee wins and is a top 10 team after the rankings come out next Monday.
I'm going to trash it.
Okay.
Because I don't see any of these other top 10 teams losing. So who are you going to take out? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
Yeah.
Georgia's going to roll. Michigan's not losing to Maryland. Sorry, Scott Kornberg, if you're already listening to the show, but that's not going to happen. Kentucky's not going to lose to Northern Illinois. Bama's not losing to Vanderbilt. Ohio State's not losing to Wisconsin. USC ain't losing to Oregon State. Like, these things just aren't going to happen. So I think they win and they stay right there. Because I also think if they stomp the Florida Gators, the committee's going to be like, or the AP, is who's doing the voting right now, is going to be like, eh, the Gators aren't that good. It's not that impressive of a win. We overdid the Gators when they beat Utah, and now they're getting stomped by everybody in almost USF. So
I don't care. All right, man.
It has been not impressive for the Florida Gators, a team that has been impressive. Another game you can hear right here on ESPN 690. It's going to be sold out in the student section at Doak Campbell for the Florida State Seminoles. They will play Boston College, 3-0, looking to go to 4-0 for the first time. The game is on the station. It starts at 5:30. Boston College is 1-2. Brian Middleton, when we come in here on Monday, the Florida State Seminoles will be 4-0 and rolling. Yes or no? Okay. I was expecting Stone Cold there.
Oh.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah, that felt better.
Yeah. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah, man, listen, Mike Norvell has these guys going in the right direction. I haven't followed closely enough to know what the Jordan Travis update was. Or
I believe he will play.
But that makes it even more concrete, in my opinion. These guys have been able to pull out wins so far, first three weeks of this season, even when there was a bit of a pushback and turmoil that happened against that, you know, the Louisville team. So, yeah, man, 4-0, going to keep rolling. Coach's show will come back on Monday. Michael will be sounding all chippy and, you know, upbeat, and rightfully so. I'm happy for him. Of course, you know, I'm wearing my Carolina stuff right here, But I'm happy for, you know, Florida State so far in the season, knowing everything that they went through. On top of everything that all of these players across the nation went through, you know, with the COVID, the shutdown, and then coming back and trying to play. And he was the new coach, and he was trying to come in and trying to implement his system after, you know, some down years with Florida State. So I'm happy that they're 3-0, and I do think that they're going to, you know, be 4-0 after this game.
They are, but this is one of the games. If you're a Florida State fan, you haven't been in this position in a while. You've been winning games that not necessarily people picked you to win. LSU, Louisville was a game that you were picked to win, but, you know, things got tight without your quarterback. You battled through. So you're in a good position as a team. This is the game you can't slip up. Boston College, they're not that good, but they can run a offense that can confuse you. This is a game that Mike Norvell needs to be locked in, and they need to take care of their business. This is the game for Florida State, for my money, that they need to win big. You've skated by in a couple of these games, rightfully so. You lose your quarterback, it just turns into a win situation, and they did it. You know the story with LSU. They need to win a game big against a real school, not a week one game that you paid the school $2 million to play. Boston College is an ACC opponent. Take care of your business, beat them big, and have everybody excited. And I'm telling you, Mike Norvell's the guy. I don't even think we're asking that question anymore. We have been for a while. He's the guy. And by the way, the next couple of games for FSU are Wake and Clemson.
And when was the last time they started off 4-0? I mean, was that the championship year?
Well, it was the first time they were 3-0 since 15.
Okay.
So it's either 14 or 15. But yes, it's been a long time since Jimbo and James and the boys. Yeah. So it's been a minute. It's been a I shouldn't say historic, but it's been something that FSU fans haven't seen in almost 10 years, this start.
Wow.
Now, granted, those teams aren't this team. This is different. Jordan Travis is a good player, but he wasn't the player that, you know, Jameis Winston was. So, but he's been in the system. He's been with Mike Norvell. He's learned, and I think he's a really good player. I think he's exciting. He's willing him to wins, and he's really excelling. I hope he does play, and I hope he's healthy for FSU, for the fans and everybody, because this could be a moment for FSU. This could be a 40-point win at home on a Saturday night with a rocking stadium, and this might be the we're back game. Like, you know how the U's been back like 18 times? FSU might be back for real.
Wow.
So we'll have to see what happens. But all I know is you can hear the game right here on ESPN 690 after you listen to Clemson and Wake on a Saturday. And then on Sunday, me and Brian Middleton will be here in the morning to broadcast on, and we will get you set for the Chargers and the Jags. And then you got Sunday Night Football on the station. And then, boom, it's Monday, and it's Monday Morning Madness, and it's MJD at 3. It's Rasheen Mathis at 4. It's me and Brian Middleton until 7:30, and then it's Monday Night Football. We got a lot going on around here, Brian Middleton. But the one thing we don't have going on is the music. Where's my music, Brian Middleton? We got to hit this break.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that we were going to break, man. Yeah, I thought we had some more stuff. There's so many more games to talk about. It's so great.
There is, but we only have so much time because we got Jumbo Shrimp Baseball coming up. So we hit this break. We're going to mention this NBA thing. If you got more games, we're going to talk about them, and we're going to get in a quick I Said What I Said, all before we go to Jumbo Shrimp Baseball. Lots to do. Championship rounds, championship belt Friday, and we got 0 feet in the parking lot for at least 15 more minutes. More to do. Overtime with Kurtz and Middleton. We'll be right back. This is wild to me, Brian Middleton. Absolutely wild.
What is?
Yesterday we talked about 6 through 10 in the NBA poll from ESPN. Top 10 players in the league, top 100. But we talked about 6 through 10. Justin Cousart was here. We had some conversation about it. So then when I wake up today, by the way, woke up at 8 a.m. Tell you about that and I said what I said. I'm really mad I did it and I will tell you why. But I see this list here. Top five players in the NBA. Giannis, you know, book it. Joker, I'm sure that made you happy, Brian. Made me happy. Luka Doncic. Joel Embiid. Steph Curry at number five. How many times does this guy have to do it to you? How many times does this guy have to win a championship and take his team to the championship? And just be great. How many times, and you're still going to disrespect him? At five? At five? How many championships Embiid won? How many Luka won? How many Joker won? Add them all up. Hell, throw Giannis in there. They all got one together with Giannis. Steph Curry at five is wild to me, Brad Middleton.
I said what I said.
A little early. Felt right, though.
Yeah, it felt right.
Energy was right.
Yeah, it was right.
So, Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
Got to be real with you, man. We kind of rushed through the segment yesterday, and the more I thought about it, that Ja ranking was way too low for me.
Ja?
Yeah. At it was nine? Way too low for me.
Yeah.
I can't put him above LeBron, but I surely can put him at seven.
Wow. All
right. I would take Ja right now over Tatum. I'd take him over KD right now. Now, I said what I said about that, but let's get back to these top five right here.
I think you're right about that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not going to push back on that. But
these top five, I understand your pain and your discomfort.
It just makes no sense.
With Wardell, Stephen Curry being number five on that list.
It don't make no sense.
But people just love the Joker. They keep giving him the MVP. I get it. I watch his game. I understand he gets buckets. I understand that he's the catalyst of the Denver Nuggets, and they ain't doing nothing. And I understand that his second in command was there. I'm not hating on him. Put him in the top. You can't not have a two-time MVP like that still in his prime or getting into his prime, which is crazy if he's getting into his prime, out of the top five. That's fine. But Steph, best player on the best team. Like, literally. Like, that's the actual title that he holds on to. The NBA Finals MVP, Steph Curry. So I understand the pain behind that. The problem I don't have, of course, is Giannis. He's going to be number one. I've said it yesterday. I've said it multiple times on here. This guy can do anything he wants, and he's a hard worker, and he has the right mindset as far as I am going to will a team. I'm going to will my team to a championship. I don't care what kind of asterisk or whatever you want to say happened. Certain people got injured or whatnot. He's a champion in Milwaukee. He's a champion amongst the players in the league. He did it in a place where he didn't create a super team. A team was built around him. So, you know, of course, put him number one. But as far as, you know, two, three, four, I think I would put Luka number two. But again, I can't knock the resume of the Joker.
Like,
I can't do that.
Listen, man, I like Luka as much as the next person. Number two?
Yeah.
Over Steph?
Yeah.
You're wildin'.
Listen, I would put Steph number three for this, but based off of...
I will take it, but not happily.
Based off of what he's done, I'm sorry. Not what he is going to do this year. So, you know, he could be number three right there. And then, you know, I'd put Joker, I guess, number four, even though I think Joel should have won the MVP probably this year if you're not going to give it to Giannis. And then you didn't have Embiid at number five.
All right. I'm mad about Steph Curry. All right, Brian. Here's what we got to do.
Okay.
We're going to do I said what I said.
Okay.
Because I've got one.
All right.
I want you to give me your best one.
Okay.
The number one thing that you have to say about what you said.
Okay.
Do you want to start or would you like me to start?
No, you go because yours has got me excited. All right.
Brian Middleton, I woke up this morning at 8 in the morning for guess what? You guessed it, to watch soccer. This time it wasn't Chelsea. It was those boys that wear the red, the white, and the blue, and the USA patch right on the front and in the middle. Worst jerseys of all time. I digress. Played a friendly to get ready for the World Cup against Japan, taking place in Germany. And Brian, when I tell you I've never been so disgusted, I've never been so disappointed to get up and watch anything. Brian, do you know how to score in soccer? Yes, you do. You kick it into the goal. The goalie does not make the save. It goes in the back of the net, and you get a goal. Guess what the U.S. men did not do? I will save you the time. They did not get a shot on net.
Lord.
Not one. They had one real opportunity, and it went over the bar. It was embarrassing. And I know what you're thinking. Well, you know, nobody probably played, right? You know, Casey, tell us nobody played. Oh, no. They all played except Christian Pulisic, okay? Does he make a difference? Yes. Is he their best player? Yes. But he's not necessarily a goal scorer. Would they have been better if he was out there? Absolutely. You're dang right. However, this is the team they're going to send to the World Cup. This is the team that they're going to try to convince us is good. And you know what? I thought they were good until today. And I know it's just a friendly. I know we have months to go. But if they run that crap out there at the World Cup, we will once again be the laughingstock of the soccer world because that was horrible this morning. The only thing we learned is Matt Turner will be the starting keeper because he did give up two goals. I know what you're thinking. That's a lot. He made like 9 saves. I think it was actually 6, but there was a couple others he impacted on. He was great. Other than that, we learned nothing. It's disappointing. They better be better in the second friendly because I'm telling you, Brian, if they take that to Qatar and the World Cup, I will be a unhappy person for the month of November, and I hate to do it because I love Thanksgiving, Brian Middleton.
I said what I said.
What you got?
We have no time. We need to get into the break like now.
Okay.
All right. I guess more when we come back.
Literally seconds to go in the show, Brian Middleton, way to get me out because I had a lot more to say about that performance earlier this morning in Germany, but I will not go into it now because we've got Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp Baseball to go to. Gentlemen, the season is almost over. It's sad we won't get to talk on this very program as we have been all season long. What's going on, boys?
What's up with you guys? We're just, you know, less than a week away. This is a little sad. I'm going to miss you guys.
Yeah. Well, I would miss us too, Scott. No, I'm just kidding. We will miss you as well. Give me the situation. I haven't talked to you guys in a minute. I know Brian talked to you the other day, but I've been in and out and doing things. What's the playoff situation? How are we looking?
There's been definitely rosier pictures, I would say. 3.5 games back with 6 to go and also having to leapfrog another team in addition to Durham. So Scranton Wilkes-Barre's in second. So I would say, chances are small, but they're not zero yet.
So you're saying there's a chance?
So we're saying there's a chance, and the Jumbo Shrimp are looking to hand the Charlotte Knights there a loss tonight, which would give them their worst season in franchise history.
Well, that's always something to play for. I'm excited for that. Give me a lowdown. What do we got going on tonight other than that good stat? Who's going to try to put the Charlotte Knights into misery?
There's going to be a couple of guys. Jeff Lindgren, for one, he's looking to bounce back after a tough start against the Nashville Sounds. He's been pretty good for Jacksonville. He's been hit around a little bit, but, you know, what pitcher hasn't in a span of 150 games? He's 3-3 with a 5-1-9, but when he's on, he's on. I mean, the Jumbo Shrimp are catching heat at the right time. Ray Patrick Ditter has 4 hits in his last couple of games with 4 RBIs in that same span. Jesus Sanchez, who just finished up a 12-game hitting streak, his on-base streak is at 14 games. Brian Miller has been hot the last 43 games. He's also got his on-base streak going. Luis Obrador, tough little stretch, but a 2-for-3 night with 2 doubles, kind of hoping that pulls him out of it. And he's actually the pregame show interview for tonight and tomorrow. talking about his family, talking about the long season, what it's like building relationships with, you know, some of the Latin guys on the team and how they've been able to keep him in good spirits during this cold stretch. But again, you know, 2 for 3 with a pair of doubles, and he's kind of hoping that kind of pulls him out into something better. And, you know, what perfect timing in the end of the season to push them into the playoffs.
Absolutely. And we will have that interview for you on the station in 3-4 minutes time. But until then, Matt, Scott, have a good call. We'll talk to you again next week, and hopefully the Shrimp have a good weekend. But you guys have one as well.
Yeah, no, you guys have a great weekend.
No, you guys have. All right, for real, take it from me.
All right.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.